I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I have the pleasure today of speaking with visual artist Paper Frank. Frank, how you doing?
I'm amazing, man. Good to be here right now. This is fun.
Glad to have you. I'm very curious, man, about a couple of things. First off, where are Damien and Jessica right now on this journey that they're on?
They're traveling the world. They're getting all over Atlanta right now. Everybody's starting to see who they really are and who's creating them. They're just starting to see the world. I'm starting to give them to the world now.
So even beyond that, where do they exist in your own head in terms of their role in your life, obviously in your art, but where do they exist for you?
They're me in every way. If I was to be expanded into multiple people, it would be those two characters and all the other characters I've drawn. I just use them I'm really bad at expressing myself sometimes, so I use them to express emotions that I normally wouldn't. So really, they're like my spirit animals almost.
Well, I noticed in a few pieces that all three of you may show up. At least my interpretation of such is all three of you might show up. And I feel like in some instances, either they might be protecting you from something or vice versa. It just seems like there's some sort of interaction between the three of you in those pieces. Could you give some more like context to that?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes also I use it to represent past things in my life that happened that I haven't really told people about, just really bad experiences, and I like to use those as big paintings. For instance, I painted one painting of Jessica, and she's giving a flower to a wolf. It's a huge wolf, and it's a wolf in the back. The wolves represented my parents, and Jessica represented my little sister. So I use that to kind of, and sometimes I put myself in there because just like I use them, I feel like they need me to create them. So I like to paint a picture with all of us just to show, like, kind of like almost a parent thing. Like I created them, but they're me. Almost like they're my kids for real.
That comes across. And I was wondering within that relationship that you've created with them, that you all seem to take turns being engaged with whatever's happening. Like, there's a certain sense of that. Can you? I'm trying to articulate
more of like
that
a focal point for each character, each painting. Like, they're more. It's more focused on one person.
I get a chance to see some of their personality in each, all of them in different ways. So, in some instances, I get to see some of the personality with Damien and Jessica and you. I feel like they all come from a different place.
Yeah, that's where it goes back to the emotion thing. Because when I paint, you know, most of the time people have an exact blueprint of what they're painting, all the paintings. But me, I don't have that. But since it's more of emotion, all my paintings change until I finish it. Like, I'll start one way and just it'll go this way, that way. If I'm sad that day, it'll go that way. I'll draw some sad looking characters. I'm happy. Really, it get brighter, more things, more intricate. Sadder I am, the more vague the painting is. The more excited I am, the more intricate, the more work I put into it, more line work. And I think people can really see that when they look at my works because they always ask me how I felt when I did this one.
And I think in your work, I sense, well, for me, one of the common themes was a sense of transportation. Mm-hmm. I could see a car. Mm-hmm. I could see a unicorn or a horse. Mm-hmm. I see the characters perhaps riding some sort of creature somewhere. So there seems to be this element of transportation.
Yes.
And I'm curious about that in your work when it comes to your characters or even yourself. What are they leaving behind or what are they looking forward to?
That's interesting. You're probably the second person to ask me that. That means you're actually looking at my work. It's always, sometimes it represents, you can't do everything by yourself. And it's always whatever moment in your life you're in, you have that one person or entity or whatever it is that's helping you get to the next point in life. And you can't get there without that thing or person. For instance, I have a painting where Damien is running on the top of a snake through the sky while the snake is falling through the sky at a very rapid pace. And I just feel that represents how life is kind of moving for me right now. Everything's moving really fast. I'm trying to just keep on to everything that's going on. Because if I let go, you know, just that stagnant.
How do you deal with that?
Man, I don't even know still. I just wake up and do what I got to do. It's actually kind of annoying sometimes, everything I do, because everything's getting faster. Then I get busier. You know, I'm still young as hell, so it's like I want to be immature sometimes, but I can't because I have so many responsibilities now. And now that I have a fan base, that gives me more responsibility.
There's a lot of love for you out in the art community and even beyond that. And I'm curious in terms of how you process that love.
I try to just stay real personable with people. I don't like to separate myself from people too much, but you also have to do that. But I just try to, like, I'll go out and the people that follow me and know me, I love talking to them because, you know, I'm nothing without those people. And I end up meeting some people that I didn't know they can do stuff for me that I didn't know. Like, some people offer services like, well, I can build toys or I make business cards. And they just want to do it. And that goes back to the paintings where you'll see the giant snake or something just a lot. I have a thing with large creatures and little human beings, like, you know, mythical animals. I represent those kind of things with the giant beast and stuff.
In terms of getting to a place or getting from place to place in life with people helping you out, I think that one of those important things is mentorship.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, not really so much about you getting mentored, but I want to get your perspective on mentoring others now. Because I think in your art, you talk about relationships with, you know, siblings and family. But when it comes to that in your real life and your art life, if you will, what does that mean to you as far as being able to mentor others in your work, around your work, and beyond?
That's probably the best part. I have a grown man coming to me every day telling me I inspire them. So I think that's cool. I actually have a mentor, the guy who taught me how to tattoo, Mike Bailey. He didn't teach me most of the things he taught me about business and then art. I don't think I would be doing the stuff I do, not just business. He would always talk about just how you should just be real, whatever you're creating. Like, don't let anybody else's opinion affect what you create. You know what I mean? A lot of people do that and then limit themselves. So I just try to do whatever I feel, no matter how people are going to feel about it, because I feel like that's what art is.
At that intersection of art and commerce, I'm wondering how you feel about that now, because as a professional artist, where you have to sustain yourself and you have to have a, you know, make a living. How do you grapple with that intersection of art and creativity and commerce?
I watch a lot of artists kind of drift away from the art because of that, because of the business. Like, they think about, okay, now I need money. You do need money because art is expensive to do. But I try to keep myself, that's what, again, when I go to hanging out with people who support me, just try to keep myself real down to earth. Because a lot of people start making more money doing art, and then it's like you see their art start to lessen, and then it becomes more commercial. Then it's just like, for example, my favorite artist used to be Shepherd Fairey, and then I do not like him at all now. But he was my favorite artist because he used to do, you know, the Andre the Giant stuff. He was brainwashing people. I thought it was the coolest crap ever. Then the more money he started making, it's just like, the brand got more of a brand instead of Shepherd Fairey, the artist. Now it's just like Obey. Like, what is Obey? Now it's just the brand. And I don't want that to happen. I want it to be still like, it's still art, you know.
Well, when that happens, it probably is never an immediate thing. It seems to be a gradual thing.
Yeah.
So that seems to be the part that most people can't observe happening to themselves.
Yes.
How do you perceive that part of it? Because you don't always see it coming.
You don't. I look at myself really hard. You ever just look at your life from the outside in, just analyze what's going on at the time? I do that a lot just to see where I'm at. Or I just talk to somebody like, so the last two, you know, I always do like a 2-year checkup on everything that's happened. Because you really can't notice it. Like the last three, I've only been doing this for about 3 years. That's a short time. And a lot of stuff has happened. And I miss a lot of stuff and forget a lot. So I always try to just talk to other people who I kept around me for those few years just to, you know, am I doing good? What am I doing? How have I changed? How have my art changed? The other day I watched a video where I was painting and my art does not look the same at all. Like I didn't notice it. So that really shocked me that I didn't notice that my art changed. But it changed so significantly, it scared me a little bit.
So in that process, I'm wondering, how do you get to a point where you can remain comfortable with the changes?
I feel like I'm still trying to grapple on to how to do that now, because, you know, I'm still really new to this, especially pain. I've been pain my whole life, but pain on this scale is really a lot different. So I think I'm still trying to grasp on how to do that.
Well, speaking about scale, mm-hmm. both, I guess, in a literal sense and a figurative sense, mm-hmm. what's the difference to you in, I guess, satisfaction between someone, an individual, purchasing mm-hmm. one piece of your art
right.
and getting to enjoy that however they want to enjoy that mm-hmm. and having one piece of your art up as a mural where everyone comes across it, wants to take a picture with it mm-hmm. or engage with it that way. What's the difference in satisfaction for you between that singular purchase mm-hmm. and then that sort of mass appreciation for it in the public?
The single purchase is more of it's a satisfaction like, okay, I sold this for this home. Now that's for them to enjoy, and they paid me so I can create art for the public to enjoy. So when I make that kind of money, I use that towards public art. When I do public art, I usually buy all the supplies myself, and I always use the money from that. So though when people, I have a private collector that buy stuff for me, and it's always cool, but it's always like, I'll never see it again, and it's in their house. So it makes me a little sad. It's like bittersweet. It's like, I made the money, but this piece is going to be in this person's house. Nobody's going to see it. You know, they might post it every once in a while. But when I do a mural, it's like, I get photos every day of the 105 points, and just to see kids in front of it. I have one in Asheville, and kids take pictures in front of that mural at least 3 times a day. I get pictures every day from that mural. That's really, I don't know. I can't explain that feeling. It makes me really happy. No matter how upset I am, when I get a picture of that, it just like washes my mood, and it makes me so happy to see kids enjoy my art.
What makes you unhappy? How do you get to that place?
Well, my life was really rough, extremely rough. When did I start doing it? I really realized I was going to do art about 11th grade of my high school career. And I was like, this is all I know how to do. Because I started doing contests. And I noticed the art just, it made my mood different. Opposed to being depressed or just like angry all the time. I was that guy that would make you would be happy. I would try to make you mad because I was mad. And art, when I would draw or paint, I would just feel like, you know, nobody's judging what I'm doing. Nobody cares, but I'm just creating this beautiful image or whatever it is. And I'm happy with it, so I'm happy.
Now, was the anger more or less anger at a certain thing, or was it more or less a frustration with something?
It was a frustration in life, just where I was at in life. Am I doing anything? What am I going to do? I hate going home. My life at home was just like rocky. So I would stay at school longer than I had to, just so I would have to go home until late. So I would be at school, after school, in this art program. I did all assignments super early, so I would just be in there drawing. And that was like the only thing that kept me happy, really.
When did you decide to leave Asheville?
When I graduated high school, my graduation, my mom did not come. So I was there with my sisters, and I was very upset because all my friends were asking me where my mom was. My dad came. I haven't seen my dad in about 4 years at this point. He came to my graduation in North Carolina from Atlanta. And he was talking to me. He was like, what are you going to do? At this time, I was living with a friend of mine because I couldn't stay at home. I was like, I mean, I can come to Atlanta. So I came down to Atlanta and met. Actually, I talked to Maya Bailey on MySpace before I left Asheville, North Carolina, because he went to the same high school.
MySpace. Wow. MySpace. All right, go ahead.
Was that 2005? Oh, God. 2005 to about 2008. But because I graduated in 2009, and I left here. I left Asheville to come to Atlanta and to talk to Maya about apprenticeship. When I got here, I showed him all this work, but it was like school projects, and he knew it. And he was like, don't bring me no schoolwork. So he just like basically booted me out of his face. So I started drawing more since. I was like, I don't have no original artwork. What do I do? You know, I don't know what to draw. I can draw, but what do I draw? What do I make me? And then to make money, I made a clothing line called Paper Clothing with my best friend. And this little character spawned up. She wanted to draw an evil character, and I was like, how do I do this? And I was like, I'm going to just draw how I felt. So I drew this little ugly kid. And before he looks like he does now, he was a lot taller and he looked older. He had a shorter afro. But it reversed now. Now he has shorter limbs and a bigger afro. Just to show. Basically, a lot of people in the Gamar, they say, you're like a child, but a child who didn't get to really grow up. You're grown, but you're a child. And I like when people say that, but I also get really upset when people say it. So I'm still trying to figure out how to deal with that, how to deal with people's interpretation of my art, even when they're not so positive.
As you have developed this community around you, and you have fans, and you have people who are inspired by your work and connect with your work, how do you stay grounded and not let whatever people's perception of you get to you?
I keep people like Angie around and my manager, Kareem, who is not here right now. Because I'm an artist, so I get really sensitive sometimes. I might not say it, but sometimes I'll let one opinion mess my whole day up. Just one little opinion. So I just have to keep people around just to remind me of how many more people love me other than this one person who's just like, because I get hate mail. I never show people because it's negative, but sometimes I'm just like, wow, you took the time to email me this. Like, some people just don't like it, and it's always older people. Some older people who are doing the same thing I'm doing and not as popular. And I always give them a positive response back and try to understand why they don't like me. Hey, they never really know. And I'm like, it's a status thing. It really sucks.
Is the love important, though?
Yes.
Why?
You need that. Well, what's the world without love?
Is the love from your peers important more so than the love from your fans? I guess that's what I'm trying to get to. Is which love really matters to you in that context?
Really, I love the love from my peers, but I like my peers to be more critical than loving. I love my fans because they love what I do. My peers will make me better for my fans. My peers will tell me what, like even right now, I'm supposed to be at Art Critique, well not Art Critique, my job work at City of Ink, where we have a meeting this morning critiquing each other's tattoos. Unfortunately, I can't be there, but we need that so we can make each other better for our customers and clientele. So when they come get tattooed, we're a lot better because we pick each other apart. You need to do this, this. And you know, we never take it personal. We'll be like, okay, you need to do this, this. Even Maya gets it. We all get it. Fair.
You've only been doing this in this capacity for a few years. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if the just graduated version of yourself, the version of you who just graduated from high school, mm-hmm. looking at you right now, you all are talking to each other.
Right.
What is he saying to you right now?
I actually did this in my head the other day and felt like a psycho. Because I watched a video of a guy talk to himself 20 years prior, like when he was a child. It was very interesting because it was a real conversation. I didn't believe who I was to the point where I thought it was like I made myself see my, like, we was at a coffee table talking to each other. I'm like, so how's life? It was just like unreal. You know, I'm a smaller guy, obviously more successful. I'm not living with my parents. And I'm just like, is that what I'm doing now? Is that really what I'm doing right now? Didn't even believe it. But the fact that I had that conversation, that conversation was real to me. Like, I talked to myself. it's a big change. It's a big change. And I really, it's all because of art.
Visual artist extraordinaire Paper Frank, let all of our listeners know how they can learn more about you and your work.
Go to my website, paperfrank.com, Twitter, @paperfrank, Instagram, @paperfrank. Everything is at Paper Frank on the internet. I also have a show in July 11th, called Pink Lemonade. It's going to be my biggest show to date at Blue Mark Studios on Jefferson Street.
Frank, thank you.
Thank you, man.